I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to What It Takes. Today, I'm talking with Cody Romnes. He's a co-founder of Allegiant, a strength training gym in LA that brings the intensity and structure of college athletics to everyday people. Cody's got a really cool story. He played football at USC, worked in the music industry with a manager of Incubus, and then jumped into the startup world at Patreon before launching Allegiant. So what I love about this conversation is how Cody brings that athlete mentality into everything he does, from training and leadership to how he's building a business and a community. So if you're into fitness, entrepreneurship, or just love a good founder story, I think you'll really enjoy this one. So let's get into it. Hi, Cody.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Great intro, by the way. My hype man, that fired me up.
Thank you. Yeah, I kind of, want to let our listeners know who we're talking to. So I thought we'd kick things off by starting off with your time at USC. Growing up in Southern California, we're huge USC fans, but now like we have a kid at ASU, so we're kind of like, do we just ditch our roots and like go all in at ASU? And my husband bought season tickets to ASU, so he's like, I'm going all in. And then we find ourselves like watching USC games still. Like, but how did playing football at that level shape your mindset?
Yeah, I mean, I think any athlete will resonate with it, but it's the athlete's mindset. You, especially at the collegiate level, you learn to work at a level and take a certain amount of responsibility that you don't get exposed to unless you're like a former college athlete or just a really competitive athlete. I mean, you're carrying a full load of classes, but on top of that, you have a full-time job basically, and you're competing at the highest level. I think that was the thing that at SC, it's just like literally a different breed of human. It's just a different breed of cat. Like everybody's so fast, everybody's so athletic, everybody's so good that you find the people that really rise to the top, especially the ones that I admire, where they're just such amazing freak athletes, but usually the time they backed it up with work ethic, with know-how, with knowledge, with just like acting like a pro. And so being in that environment was just like the ultimate exposure to like, man, this is what it takes to be great. So a lot of my, friends and teammates went on to be, big time Super Bowl MVPs or like, are still playing and have fabulous careers. So it's cool that I can kind of see that. But I think for me, it was always like just a certain work ethic, a certain sort of grittiness and toughness and starting kind of at the bottom of a totem pole and working your way up and not taking no for an answer. And the beautiful thing about athletics is like the best players will play. And I think that really transfers over to business. As much as I maybe feel that this should work or want this to happen, it's like, results rule at the end of the day. And so I think there's a lot of, whether that's just me trying to like copy paste my experience over to how I'm actually living right now, maybe, or if that's actually true, it's probably a bit of both. But I definitely think being an athlete and that sort of mindset is foundational to, who I am and where we are today.
I think there's a lot there, and I'm having like my own kind of aha moment with this, in that something you said really like is like opening up my like, what, in how I've done business, in that, when you get to college, everyone that goes to college, like you're the fastest one on your team. And then you get to college and everyone is the fastest one on their team or whatever it is, fastest, best, like however you want to describe it. And so for me, it was like, I was always the fastest one on my team. I got to college and everyone was the fastest one on my team. So it's like, we're faced with what are we going to do with that? And how are we going to, like you said, you get kind of knocked back down to the totem pole and you're surrounded with the elite of the elite and you can either rise or fall. And I think that that's why in business, I look to surround myself with MVPs. And a lot of my career working in like the corporate world, I see a lot of people not doing that. Like they, in fact, they would do the opposite. They would be threatened by other people who had really like high skill sets and were doing amazing things in business. And I just, when you said that, something just like, I bet that had a lot to do with my mentality and just looking for people, like really wanting to surround myself with MVPs, like people who really had high skill set, high performance level. So do you feel like you, because you just articulated that in such a way. I've owned my own business for 10 years. And I had before that another decade of corporate experience. And I had not ever put that together. So what's like one thing that you learned as an athlete that still drives how you operate today as a business owner? Have you kind of thought, have you seen that tie, or are you like me and just like now making that connection?
No. And look, I think you obviously had it in you. It's just sometimes maybe it's the right way that it was framed by someone else or the right timing that kind of officially made it click. But I think for me, particularly like Allegiant, it might seem even more obvious. Like so Allegiant is the gym that we have. We have three gyms in Los Angeles. We're working on our fourth. We've been in business about 8 years. We do about like $2 million in revenue. So nothing insane, but you know, still pretty respectable in terms of where we're at. And we took our collegiate strength and conditioning experience as athletes. So one of my business partners was a teammate of mine at SC. The other one was our strength and conditioning coach, who at the time was the head strength coach at Army West Point of their football program. The idea happened like, hey, what if we replicated our collegiate strength conditioning experience as like a boutique fitness concept in sort of the market? And kind of coming back to your question, like for us, the hole in the market was there's a lot of like boutique group-based fitness concepts, but they're mostly cardiovascular focused. And frankly, like most of them are like kind of female dominated and like more of a female brand. And for us, it was like, we think this is a great opportunity, one, to elevate this style of training that we know and love. But two, like from a broader business standpoint, it's like, this might be the right idea at the right time. And that was, 8 years ago. And I think the markets really started to shift away from cardio all the time. And like strength training is becoming the thing, particularly in like for ladies, it's really picking up, which is awesome. I think a lot of that stigma is starting to go away. Like it's not going to turn you big and bulky. It's going to make you the most efficient and athletic as you can possibly be and strong. And like the more that narrative continues to change, I think that the more it bodes well in our favor. But I guess like a long-winded way to come back to the question of like, how is being an athlete like really like made a difference or kind of defined me as a business person? Well, like, yeah, I took my collegiate strength conditioning experience, replicated it as my business. But I think for me, it's really like this idea that nobody's coming to save you. Nobody's going to help you. Well, that's not true. People will help you. But like at the end of the day, you are the one that has to make it happen. But also you're a part of a team, right? So I could do in football, I could be say the make the best tackles. But if I'm having to make every tackle as a defensive back, which is what I played, the rest of the team's not doing his job. And like, we're not making the plays that we need to be making. So if we can cohesively work as a team, you can see that with Allegiant and our sales team and our product team and our customer service team and our admin team. Like if everybody is rowing in the right direction and we feel a part of a team, like that's how you start to take a business and like continue to grow it instead of it just being dependent on, the founders, which is just one, not sustainable. And you're never going to grow to the level that you want to grow at if it's just about one player.
That's actually a really good point. I'm glad that you talked about that. But you've also kind of made some interesting pivots in your experience from, sports. You were in the music industry and then tech at Patreon, which is another huge thing. How did those experiences prepare you to launch where you're at now at Allegiant?
Honestly, I always wanted to have my own brand and business, but I never really knew if I would have the guts to pull the trigger and really go out on my own. So in the beginning of my phase, I was producing music. I had a pretty serious band in high school and a guy that I produced music with out of college for a bit, who actually, by the way, just won a Grammy. He stayed in the game. I got out of the music game, but he just won a Grammy in the most recent one. So shout out to him for that. But from there, it's just really hard to pay rent in the music business and like writing and producing songs. So I went to Patreon after that because I learned like, okay, though I really like the creative side of things, I'm also like really good and attracted to the business side of things and like working with artists and working with creative types. So at Patreon, it was a really cool way where I could bridge the business side that I learned with working with Steve, who's like the manager of Incubus. We had a podcast. We were doing this same stuff, but with artists, managers, agents in the music industry, but we were broadcasting it live on YouTube like 10, 12 years ago, right? And so at Patreon, it was like this perfect chance where now I can kind of be this like creator talent rep where I'm signing people onto the platform. So it was like new business development, but still on the creative side. And then I always explain it like this, like culture is never one of those things that you think about until you're in one that's not you. And I think for most of my career in like life and teams, I was always in cultures and companies that I would like, yeah, this is me, like as athletes and stuff. And then I got into Patreon and I was in a little way of fish out of water. I was like, damn, like this is a really different environment. Techie San Francisco. By the way, I have amazing friends over at Patreon. If you guys ever see it, they'll probably be laughing if they hear this. They're like, oh yeah, like it was a different thing. So coming to Allegiant, it was like all these stars sort of aligned in terms of like, I wanted to have my own branded business. I felt like I had something to say because Allegiant started as a blog. Like I was on CodyRamas.com writing about my workouts, talking about the mindset and mentality behind it, my future, and pushing it out on Facebook. My future business partner, Steve, was reading it. He was in private equity, mergers and acquisitions. And then like all this thing kind of, he's like, what if we took this style of branding and we kind of took the PE sort of like business side behind it and we merged it? And then it was like, do you guys want to do this? You want to do this? I was like, I just got let go at Patreon to the closer sales department. And bam, within like 2 weeks, we all moved back to LA. And that was 8 years ago when we started the journey.
That's so cool. And I was going to say, Allegiant feels really intentional, like from the branding to the training model, like it feels very specific. How did your athlete background like influence those kinds of business decisions or like the design of your business?
Yeah, I think it was probably, for me, it was more the music side that really influenced it. Like,
really?
When it was, yeah, when you like go, you see an artist or a band and you like, a great band name makes such a big difference. And a lame band name is like lame. And I always think back, like, I really wanted to give Allegiant the chance to be like next to Equinox, next to Barry's, next to SoulCycle. Like, it had to carry a weight. It had to sound like a place. I'm at Allegiant, but it had to sound like a group of people, like the Allegiant. And it kind of like sounds like an elite group. There's a bunch of like words that are mashed into there. You've got Alliance, you've got Allegiant, which is a dedicated group of followers. You've got Collegiate, you've got like Athlete, like all that sort of built in there. So though it's a made up word, you can like intuitively understand what Allegiant means. And that was all by design, but that was more, I think, my music production and like songwriting background, where it's like, I love reading. I love words. I love how all those things phonetically flow together. And just to say something and have people be able to interpret it or like intuitively think they know what it means, like that's a really powerful thing if you want to build a brand. And it's really hard in the 21st century where every word is already taken, every URL is already taken. So like all that level of intention and also to broadcast to the rest of the people, like, is everybody going to come to that conclusion? No, absolutely not. But are some people going to see like, there's something behind that? And then when they come in for the experience and the space and the branding and the programs, you know, better than anything that they've experienced, if we can continue to like layer on those intentional pieces, and I appreciate you calling that out, like that to me is how we're going to give us a shot at like really trying to build a mainstream brand.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really good. And I'm sure you haven't just like that sounded like a really cool, okay, within 2 weeks, we're up and running and it's great. Now here we are. But I'm sure you guys also had challenges too, right? Like what's been one of the hardest challenges in building Allegiant that like nobody's really going to see from the outside?
I don't think I knew how hard it was going to be.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, there's also different phases of it too. So if somebody's out there listening to this and they're thinking about taking the leap, you know, going from zero to one, metaphorically speaking, of like, I'm not actually doing it, I'm just like a wantrepreneur, to like actually being in the trenches and entrepreneur, that's a big jump. And everybody's got their different baggage or things that make it easier or more difficult to do. But no matter what, that zero to one jump is really freaking hard. I think for me getting over that, it was the right time. I was 27 when I first started Allegiant, and it was kind of like one of those things of like, I didn't have kids yet. I wasn't married yet. So it was like, I had a lot of those things in my favor. But on the flip side, there's the opportunity cost of like, well, if you do take this leap, like instead of going in like a different, you know, 10 years from now, you could have a more stable gig making a lot more money versus 10 years from now, this could not work out. And you're kind of, you're justifying all the things that you did with the experience and the lessons and the this and that, right? So like that's a tough phase. And then in my world, scaling and growth and difficulties are all really related to opening more locations. So we had one location, you're the individual contributor doing everything. You go to two locations, you're now working through other people. You go to three locations, not only are you working through other people, but a lot of the systems that you built from one to two is not as like sustainable or as good as it once be. So you have to blow some stuff up, you have to redesign some stuff. So like, and nobody's teaching you this shit either, right? So you have to be the one figuring it out the whole time. And then you have to continue to have the inner drive and the motivation and the perspective of like, am I doing this correctly? Am I doing this incorrectly? Can you be humble enough to like seek out and read books and just be like a sponge and and find the solution with the internet, with the web, with YouTube, with ChatGPT, and just being like all in. So I think that kind of like all in mindset, which is probably very similar to like being an athlete, is it bodes well for this type of thing where the challenge is just so great. You got to de-risk that and give yourself the best chance of success by doing everything that you possibly can to make it happen.
Yeah. And I think you had some really good, like very specific challenges that you listed, but I feel like a couple of them were really just rooted in mindset, is kind of overcoming, you know, decision making. You know, you're like, hey, I could go this road or whatever, and just kind of overcoming that. But I think that that's a really great point to talk about. Like, you are going to face challenges, and one of the biggest ones are going to be in your own narrative, your own voice, like how you're going to overcome something. And I think as an athlete, we all have faced that. What are we saying to ourselves at the starting line? What are we saying, you know, before they're hiking the ball? What are you saying to yourself? And I think you have to have that like no holds barred mentality. Like, we're just going to make it work. I'm going to be the one to give the ball to me mentality, right? And I think that takes you really far in business. Not because we're not going to face the challenges or that sometimes like when we run up against an obstacle, like we might get knocked down, but are you going to get back up again? What are you going to do about that? So how do you then, like, it's one thing to have that like within yourself, right? So you have to overcome all of that. But then in that scaling process, which is another challenge, how do you create a culture where people are pushing hard but also feel supported and connected? Because now you're responsible not just for your own mindset and your own, you know, what you do every day, but also now for others.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think it's complicated, but I also think it's simple, which is not, it seems like a juxtaposition. So I think what I mean by that is if you get the right people on the bus, you might not know where the bus is going, but the people on the bus are going to be able to figure it out. And like, you might come to a certain turn in the road and be like, oh, dude, I don't know how to drive this. Oh, dude, I can drive that one. You know what I mean? And so I think where I'm at right now is I just went through a lot of staffing changes and stuff like that. But I'm in a phase where I had to let a lot of people go, bring on new people. And I'm in a phase right now that feels really good. And it feels right. And counterintuitively, I haven't been focusing on culture. I've been focusing on like high performance. I've been focusing on like throwing the ball to the people that want to make plays and getting all the other shit out of their way to let them do their job, and really trying to protect that spark, identifying what somebody's good at, putting the right person in the right place. Tactically, what that means is if in my world, if I've got somebody leading sales and they don't like sales, or they're not good at sales, or there's friction there, I have to get that person out of that seat ASAP. There's not enough training, molding, etc. It's at the opportunity cost of that person's going to be upset, and I'm going to negatively impact the business. And I learned that the hard way, where now in my world, I've got somebody that's really good at that. And I just want to keep feeding her the ball. And anything that she doesn't want to do, it's my responsibility to do the unsexy work to get it out of her way. And on the flip side, you're going to have somebody that's like really good at admin and that likes things in its right place, and that the trains are running on time and that the I's are dotted and crossed. And so my job is to make sure that she's got that lane covered and she feels like she's able to grow in that position too.
That's really great. And it's kind of that like coaching mentality, is identifying strengths and gaps and putting people in those areas where that you can maximize that, right? Like, hey, these are the areas, like you thrive, you grow, and you're like full of life when you're doing it too, and you're good at it. And here are areas that, hey, we've got some gaps here. How are we going to fill that? I think that that's a really, actually just being able to be competent and also getting the most out of people. People like to perform, like they like to have success in their performance. And so that really can, like you said, just intuitively create a great culture when you're able to be in the right seat and on the bus, right? You know?
Yeah. So yeah. I think it really comes down to hiring too. And by the way, it wasn't this crystal clear to me in the beginning. Like, I used to hire people if I got them like good enough, and then I would try to mold them into the position, where I'm much more now like, this is the position, this is the type of cat that I need here. And I'm going to hold on until I find and feel that I've got the right person through the right interview questions, through the right intuition, through maybe the previous experience, but also like the personality type, to be able to be that person to do what I need them to do. it's kind of a crass analogy, but I think a lot of people use it. It's like, sometimes you throw, if you're gonna take over like a beach, you send in the Marines first, they blow stuff up, they figure it out, and then they bring in the next, like the army behind them, and then they do their thing, and then behind them comes like the security force. But like the type of people that are like the Marines don't do well if they're like in the army seats where they have to be security. And on the flip side, the security folks that are really good at that don't do a good job if they're on the Marines trying to take the beachhead. So it's like identifying who you need, when you need them, how they're supposed to do their job, and then finding those cats in the interview process. That's been my secret. Not a secret, but that's how I've succeeded so far. And I do think that that's made a massive difference on this broader thing of culture and job satisfaction.
Yeah, absolutely. But looking back, do you feel like, is there a mistake or a tough moment that ended up teaching you something like really valuable now?
Every day.
What's like the one thing that pops out to you? Because I know there's probably something that popped into your head that you're like, well, there was this one time.
I mean, there's been so many one times. I think the perspective that I've taken, which is out there, but I've really tried to live it. It's this idea of like, you don't lose, you can learn, and therein you win. And the losing lesson that ends up, it could be the thing that unlocks a new perspective or a new door that allows you to see that next move a little bit further. But you never would have gotten there if this one play or thing that happened just like took you out of the game, right? Continuing the sports metaphor, it's like, okay, if I'm a defensive back, I get beat on a fourth down, they get a first down, I could say, woe is me, you know, the world is over. Or I could get my helmet back on and I could pick it off and I could run it back for the game winning touchdown. You know, you never know. But if your mindset is like constantly looking for the right answer, looking for optimistic things, seeing that like, if I've got enough patience now, it's going to make me understand and connect the dots that this is just a part of the journey and a part of the lesson that's going to set me up for future success. And if you constantly think that way, like you find what you're looking for kind of thing. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. It does.
And if you don't, you shut yourself down from those lessons that could potentially turn into that.
So yeah, this year I have had, I'm not really like, oh, this is my word for the year. This is my like, whatever. I've never been that person, but I have this year. It was really crazy, like finding joy in all things and just being able, and I'm like, okay, I mean, I think I can find peace in all things, or like knowing that like, no matter what I'm going through, like it's going to be okay in all things. But like, all things are not joyful, like, right? But it's because I was equating happiness with joy. And I'm like, actually, I can find like joy out of like, okay, this is a really terrible experience. I'm not happy about it, but I know that this is going to lead to something really, really good. And essentially, like, that's what I think you're saying, right? Is like, it doesn't matter whatever circumstance you're in, how you decide to use it, it can be really good. And that's how I when I'm going through things, my perspective has shifted. And it's just this year that it's really started to where I'm like, okay, well, this sucks. But it's like, I want to get to the other side to see what it is that we're going to get out of it. And we'll make something of it regardless. And sometimes things just happen. Like sometimes we get into bad situations, but it's, again, it's what's good and what's bad. There's just things that happen. Yeah. What are we going to do with it? So I think that's, there's a lot there. That's really, really good. But we've gotten to the time where I need to ask your signature question, which this podcast is called What It Takes. So we're going to talk about what it takes. In your opinion, your experience, things that you're seeing, what does it take to actually like be a business owner? What it really takes?
I mean, you got to get in the game if you're not in the game yet. And going from that idea of going from zero to one, the entrepreneur versus the wantrepreneur, it's a different set, it's real, you know what I mean? And like when you're in it, it's a different perspective that you don't get unless you're not in it. And I say that from somebody like, I would read all the entrepreneurial books, think about starting my own business, all that stuff, and I didn't actually have it. But I kind of felt like I did. And so I'm very thankful that the time, place, circumstances happened to be able to be pushed in to like actually have a seat at the table and be going for it, right? But that's just a horse getting into the starting gates. Like, what does it take to sustain this thing? What does it take to make something happen? I can only speak from, you know, my personal experience. It's a voracious appetite to learn. it's trusting your own intuition and creativity that you can figure things out. It's balancing like learning the stuff that's out there with trusting your own gut and intuition and making the right call. It's staying in the game long enough. It's extending your timeline horizon, not in like weekly or monthly, but like 3 month to 6 month chunks, and evaluating progress, like, and how things are going through that. It's keeping your helmet on straight when you're not sure if it's going to work out and people are asking you like, how's it going? And it's not going that great. And how you can answer that, and how you can have that self conversation to keep yourself in it, so you don't negatively spiral yourself down into a hole. It takes an amazing spouse to be there to support you, to believe in you, and to pick you up when maybe you're not there, and just to listen to you when you come home. Because entrepreneurs and people that have their own business, if we're not careful, all we'll do is just talk about this stuff. Not because we're like some like workaholic. It's just like, it's fun. It's what we do. It brings us joy. It's like our passion. And so finding somebody that can counterbalance that, that can like live with that other type of person, I think is really important. And then this thing that I've been on lately is similar to your point on joy. It's like just having an appreciation for this thing. Like being like, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So I'm building the business, but the business is building me as well. And having that like philosophical, like, appreciation and understanding that there's just a lot going on here, and I'm being sharpened by circumstances and trying to make something happen in a way that I don't think that I would be if I were in corporate America, or if I had a more secure job, or like those sorts of things. And lately I'm just really appreciating and just being thankful for that opportunity, like this iron sharpens iron sort of thing. Not in like an egotistical way, but just in like damn man, like I really feel like I've really learned so much through this journey so far. And so, you know, I think all those pieces matter, right? I listed a bunch of stuff, but you need it all. Like, you know what I mean? Like you need all that stuff. You need the philosophy. You need the work ethic and the grind. You need the guts to make the jump. And then you just need to sustain all that.
Yeah, I love what you said, just how you kicked it off, switching from a wantrepreneur to an entrepreneur. But I think if you carry that out in the rest of what you do, you can sustain it. Because yes, in the beginning, you're starting the business, but to sustain it, it's that same mentality. You just have to live out what you see and what you want to do. Don't just talk about it, think about it, like live it out. That's such good stuff. That was such a good conversation. Huge thanks, Cody, to you for sharing the story. I mean, I can feel the athletic energy in the house, how you approach like business, leadership, life in general. Allegiant isn't just about lifting weights. It's about building something with intention, with grit and community. And if somebody wanted to find you guys, maybe follow you or take a look at the gym or anything else that you might be doing, where can they find you?
Yeah, the Instagram handle is at Allegiant Gym. Allegiant rhymes with collegiate, and then allegiantgym.com is our website. I'm at Cody Romness across all things, or CodyRomness.com. You know, I'm or on TikTok too. Like I all I do is kind of talk about this stuff because it's like what I'm really interested in and trying to push that content out there. So if this kind of building the business and the behind the scenes stuff, tools, tactics, mindset is of interest, hit me up.
Yeah. And we can put those links and everything on our show notes too. So of course, if you like this episode, please share it with someone who's building something cool or could use a little inspiration. And make sure you're subscribed so you never miss a new episode of What It Takes. And we will catch you next time. Thank you, Cody.
Jamie, thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to SeekerSolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at SeekerSolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.